that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again.
Roll around again.
And good morning, this February 9th, I believe, 2013. That old wheel has rolled around again. It is a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. So far, I guess the snow's coming a little bit anyway. And we got all the Wranglers on the line. Of course, this is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle sitting in for Richard. But Richard, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jason's a little low, but hopefully you heard him say, yes, I am. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good deal. You coming in loud and clear. Would you open it up with some prayer, John?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for you to guide and direct us, and that you lead us down the path that you want your people to follow. Lord, we pray for Holy Spirit inspiring. Pray that you would convict those that are listening, the remnant, to whatever it is that's on their mind to call in, and let it be the thoughts and let our thoughts be the thoughts of, that you want us to hear and see. And we just pray for your blessings to be upon this program and guide and direct each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And that's a good prayer. You know, something we don't think about too much is, or at least I don't think about enough, is lining our minds up with Christ's mind. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. As we walk through this daily fight, through this daily, well, race, if you want to call it that, you know. And to have the mind of Christ, you kind of have to know what Christ's mind is like. And, of course, that you get that in the Word of God. But, well, Jason, why don't you start out this morning? You got anything to tell us?
Well, yeah, I'd just like to comment on that. You know, a lot of people
Now, that you hear it quoted a lot of times, putting on the mind of Christ. So we got to have the mind of Christ. We got to have the mind of Christ. And, you know, so much of the time these people go to the churches and they don't even get into the Word of God. And it's really, you know, kind of comical sometimes. It's like, how in the world do you expect to know the mind of Christ if you don't get in the Word of God? You don't look at any scriptures, but you're listening to somebody tell you how to have the mind of Christ who doesn't even do it himself.
Yeah, that's funny because, you know, I haven't visited a whole lot of churches in my day, but the few I have just visited to see what they were like, very, very few words were spoken out of the Word of God. You know, they might take one verse or two verses and then ramble on for, you know, 20 minutes about it and call it adjourned and be done with it. But yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, and it's, you know, I listen to some of them on the radio when you're driving down the road or something, flipping through it. And it's really, it's interesting how much time, you know, they talk on putting on the mind of Christ or having the mind of Christ. And they'll go into all these great depths and explanations on how a person can do it, but at the same time, they really don't get into the scriptures. And I've thought often that, you know, if these people would just get into the scriptures and read the Word of God, they would be able to figure out, I think that's all it takes for them to figure out that their preacher was full of garbage. You know what I mean?
Well, that's how do you tell whether something's counterfeit or not? And that's by the real deal, you know. But if they've never heard the real deal, they might have a difficult time figuring it out. But yeah, I mean that's how you would compare anything, you know, with anything is, you know, you got to have something to go by, and God through his providence, through his graciousness, has gave us all. I mean, I don't even know how many Bibles I have in my house, and I know at one time that was unavailable for people. So, I mean, what a blessing that is in itself. That I mean, we've talked before about how many other swords we have in our houses or whatever, but you know, I've got countless of these kind of swords, the Word of God, and what a blessing that is to be able to have that. You know, I mean, at our availability, and it's at everybody's availability, because you can go to the dollar store. You know, I think Richard has bought a bunch of dollar store Bibles to mail out to people, you know, because it's just that available. You know, I mean, it's just right there.
Number one selling book in America or in the world.
Well, that's good. It's still above Harry Potter. That's good.
Yep.
Well, Richard, you're a little bit further west than we are today. How you doing out there?
Well, we're doing well. We got a good bit of snow yesterday, and it, from what I can see this morning, it looks like it still wants to come down. It is a winter wonderland out here in Utah, for sure. But, you know, you're talking about having to know the mind of, or wanting to know the mind of Christ. How can anyone read the book of Acts and deny baptism, and not see, just from reading that, you know, of the conversions in the book of Acts, and not see that baptism is such an integral part of that? I was reading it the other morning in Acts, you know, when Saul, who was persecuting the church, has his Damascus Road experience. And, you know, and he has 3 days that he's sitting there contemplating because he can't see, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. And finally, you know, God sends somebody to take care of him. And, you know, he finally realizes that it was God in Christ that he was persecuting through the Christians. And then he repents and he's baptized. You hear so much about the Apostle Paul, but if the people would just read their Bibles, that's such a huge thing. But they'd rather, you know, see somebody in a $5,000 suit on TV tell them what the Bible says, or, you know, just go listen to the guy on a Sunday morning and then get back to all the busy stuff all week.
And that's one of the reasons that we're once again, I think, in the Babylonian captivity, is we don't read our word. You know, I guess it was, we've quoted it before, I think it was Horace Greeley that says you cannot enslave either physically or mentally a Bible-reading people. But you can enslave a non-Bible-reading people. And that's what's happened with us. But, you know, when you're talking about the mind of Christ, putting on the mind of Christ, how do you know it if you don't read it, if you don't get it from the Word?
Amen. John, can you hear Richard?
Yeah, barely.
Well, that's good, because Jason can't, so I don't know what I should do about it, because I don't know what to do here behind all these millions of buttons, so I'm leaving them alone, Richard, so don't blame me when you get back for turning all the knobs.
No, that's okay. I know that system's a little touchy sometimes, but as long as we can get it out to the remnant, I think that's important.
I think everybody else can hear, because I can hear all three of you. Great. But you're right. I mean, you're right. You know, when that voice, you know, came on to Paul and asked him that question, why persecutest thou me? Obviously, Paul had faith because of his actions then. And it's like Jason was saying, so many of the preachers out there in radio land, you know, Judeo-Christian, whatever you want to call it, they don't give people faith. They'll give them some verses and they'll try to make them feel good, but they don't, you know, when you look up the word preach or preacher, it's to herald. It's to, you know, it's to cry the word out. You know, I mean, you know, it's like people that stumbled on to Pastor Peters through the years, you know, a lot of them would say, and I heard this voice crying in the wilderness, because he was heralding the word of God, which was producing faith to them that hear, you know, and which is completely what Romans 10 says, you know, but so many have never really heard the word preached. They've heard it maybe taught, you know, and they've heard it perverted, you know, but they really haven't heard it heralded and put out there. Well, what used to go on in this land when this land was first, you know, originated, and that is, you know, it was repent or perish. You know, and you don't just go up to somebody with a soft-spoken voice and say, you better repent or perish, because that doesn't put it out there. No, it's you better repent or you're going to perish, you and your family and you and, you know, I mean, whoever it is. So, you guys are hitting it right on the head. John, you got anything to add to this, or want to go a different direction, or how you doing?
I'm just listening, petting my dog and drinking coffee.
Well, that's good. Drinking coffee is good.
I was just looking through some stories last night and this morning, and apparently at the prayer breakfast, the National Prayer Breakfast, they had a speaker, Dr. Benjamin Carson, who's a black man, but I think the head mongrel got more than he expected, and because this gentleman was reverencing Jesus Christ and that this was a Christian nation in its founding, and apparently the head mongrel was there fidgeting, and I'm sure he was wondering, all right, who let this guy in, you know? So I think it's pretty neat how God sometimes sneaks those Christians in, even to the Antichrist gatherings.
Yeah, he's probably sitting there wondering, didn't this guy get the memo? You know, we can't say that, you know.
Yeah.
What day did that take place?
Well, and it might be too that you know, God just had somebody get in there to you know, be that witness, so that they could be you know, so that they can be held accountable.
Yes.
For their actions.
Well,
yeah, they could be warned.
There's a lot said there. Yeah.
Get those that can turn.
Yeah,
I think it was Wednesday.
Huh. You know, we're all, you know, because, and I think Richard's mentioned this a couple times, we are all held at a higher accountability because of things that we've known, you know, and things that we've been blessed to receive, truths that not a whole lot of people in the percentage wise have been able to hear, and so we are held at a stronger accountability. So even at a lesser level, once you've heard, once you've witnessed, once you've had a chance to receive that, there's more condemnation going to come your way if you turn your back on it. I guess that's what I want to say. But the phone line here is 307-745-5913. But go ahead, Jason.
I think that's why they came up with the saying that ignorance is bliss. It's because sometimes it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a, I forget where that is in Ecclesiastic. It talks about that, ignorance is bliss, but at the same thing, there's going to be judgment for all someday.
Going along with what Jason was saying, you read in Ezekiel 3:17, we've read this many times, but Son of Man, I have appointed you a watchman over the house of Israel. Whatever you hear a word, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked for his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall have delivered yourself. We got to remember that.
Amen.
So that could have been exactly what took place there in Washington.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, Richard, back to you.
Well, thinking with what you wrote there out of Ezekiel, John, we are to warn. We're to walk in his ways. That's what the apostles and the disciples of old did. I think the other thing that comes to mind is, aren't you guys glad? And doesn't it give you joy, to have discovered this truth? To know that we rest in his hand, and that he directs our paths, and that he causes all things to work for good if we will but love him. And that's what a comfort there is to that. And so I think for sure we have to I think do our best to get this word out to the people. And it definitely is to warn them, because when he comes back, he's coming back for punishment and to dole out punishment and to repay. Those are all, that's how the Bible describes him coming back. But the joy unspeakable that his people have even here, to know that we can cry out and we can pray to the living God, and that he hears us and that he keeps his word. It was mentioned earlier, that it's the good news. in all the doom and gloom that is coming down out there, especially on these younger generations, we've got generations coming up now in this once Christian nation that don't have the faintest idea who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Because all they've heard is the bad stuff that the Antichrist has put out. We want to continue to reach them with that good news, to give them hope, to introduce them to a thing called faith, to let them know that this word is truth. What you see on the TV is a lie. What you may hear on the radio is a lie if it doesn't come from the word, if it doesn't line up with the truth. And, that's... What a blessing for me and my family that, many, many years ago, somebody started to tell us about this. God called us, and it is the good news. And, we want to share that with others. We want others to experience that, blessed assurance that God offers. And we're told to have a love for the brethren, just like John read, so that, you know, so that we warn them. I don't have the, I've got my Bible here, but I'll not turn to the verse, but, you know, God says he, and I know he's talking about his remnant there, but he says that, you know, he desires that none would die, but that all would turn and come to repentance. And that's the thing you sure don't hear, you know, from the Judeo-Christian church world, is sin and repentance. And that's the only way. You know, we are sinful by nature as a people. We have to repent and turn back to his way, you know, to be able to abide with him and for his protection to be upon us and his blessings. And until the people do that, and they need to hear that, you know, that is certainly a big part of the good news of the gospel, that there is a way out, but it has to be through him, and it has to be according to the word.
Yeah, well, we've made a choice, you know, to run the race, and like you said, you know, we stumble along the way, but to have an opportunity to exhort, to edify, you know, to encourage, like you said, to warn. I mean, we have so many things that we have a responsibility for, you know, but like Jason said, you know, ignorance is bliss. Well, obviously we're all ignorant in many things, but there's certain things that we are not ignorant of, and we can't act like we're ignorant. That verse in Ecclesiastes is chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, "And for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." You know, and if you take the opposite approach to that, it's ignorance is bliss, you know, because with that, with the knowledge and the wisdom, and not saying we're wise, not saying we're full of knowledge, I'm just saying with all that that we have received and we are thankful for, comes a lot of grief and sorrow and pain. Oh, the pain, you know, that comes with knowing things that that's been revealed to us, you know. And it's not just a, you know, just a day in the park, and it's not supposed to be a day in the park. What is it that comes with suffering, Jason?
Pain.
Well, yeah, but obedience too. But you're right. Pain comes bad. But hey, we got a phone caller. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Greg from Minnesota.
Hey, Greg.
I was wondering, when's your Rocky Mountain Bible study out there?
Do you want to answer that, Jason?
I can't hear the caller.
He asked when our Rocky Mountain Bible study was. So, we don't have the Rocky Mountain camp that used to take place out here. So maybe you could just give him an update on what we had last year. Yeah. So, Greg, we will have a summer camp, I think. I mean, that's our intentions. You know, we don't know anything for sure, but we haven't picked a place or a time or a date or anything like that. We do have another gathering coming up before that in late spring, you know, and that'll be east of us, and we're still arranging the dates and the times exact. You'll be able to contact us and get more information from that. You know, we're not going to just put it out over the air so anybody can show up. There is a couple things in the works. One, you know, that'll be a for sure deal. We just have it narrowed down and
June 7th, 8th, and 9th.
June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Okay. Well, we've narrowed down the date. So there it is. And it'll be east. Not too far east, but east from Colorado. So.
Okay. And then I got another question about baptism.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if, see, where I live here in Fargo, I went to all the churches and none of them even baptized you the right way. I've talked to Richard about this too. And this, I know Al, I pray for him on Wednesday night sometimes, and he's a, I don't know, it's kind of like a Seventh-day Adventist deal, but their Sunday's on Saturday. Well, they baptize Now, what happens if I go get baptized there?
Well, the way I read it, I've looked into that, too, because a lot of their beliefs are like ours, but they don't believe that baptism is salvational. They just believe it's, you know, like a outward sign of the inward grace. So I would say if you can find a Church of Christ, that's your best bet. Or someone who believes in baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ that has been baptized properly.
You guys talk about everybody should get baptized. Well, why don't we try to make a way in these places where there's no place to get baptized and make it easier for them to get baptized?
Hey, I agree with you, Greg. We need to, you know, we need to have contacts all over this land where if a situation comes up and there's not a local place a person can go get baptized for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we ought to have somebody there that can do it, or one or the other of us travel, or one of the, or you people travel here. I mean, it's that important that we need to get it all over this land. And that was, you know, Pastor was trying to set that up, you know, for years, you know, where we would have contacts all over the place, you know. And I agree with you, Greg.
Why don't you guys got the Word of God in the Spirit. Why don't you guys start filling up these empty places and go start ministering to them? I know it's probably hard, but I mean, you guys, I just don't understand. You should be growing, you know.
So, are you saying we need to walk into a church and just walk up on the pulpit?
Yeah, when you guys get the Holy Spirit going, if you guys like just like Joyce Myers does, how can she do it? I mean.
Well, to sacrifice too, to be baptized, so, you know, there's ways to do it, you just gotta figure out how to do it.
Right, and that's one of the things that we do, you know, Greg, I think when we talk, you know, is first and foremost because of, you know, everybody has to gather more straw and make more bricks, you know, we realize everybody's that way, and so first, we learn from our pastor, you know, the church, normally, a Church of Christ will baptize properly. Normally. And so, usually you can find a local Church of Christ, you know, within driving distance of a day that will. But it takes some footwork. It takes some, like John said, it takes some sacrifice. It takes some work to maybe go through the phone book and call them and ask them and talk to the pastor and say, do you know, of a Church of Christ. And we've seen countless successes in that area. I think of Jack back in, I want to say, Pennsylvania. Him and his son both found the Church of Christ about an hour from their home and got baptized, I believe it was last year, the year before. And so, you know, that's the first thing we try to look at. Now, if you go through that and you don't find anybody, contact us and give us the name of some cities that are around you. And we'll send out the request for baptism, a letter, to the people on our ministry. You know, we don't give addresses out, but we'll send a letter out with, you know, with the person wanting to get baptized, with their name or address or contact. And we've had success there. You know, it's a tough thing, but, you know, God has his remnant scattered. From sea to shining sea, down in Australia, South Africa, Europe, and all over these states, and it's for our safety. And we do have to get baptized. It is, and we do our best to try to provide for that. You know, it is like John said. You know, that's one of the reasons that the Church of Christ they baptize properly. They may not have it all figured out. I don't think any of us have it all figured out, but they do have baptism figured out, and that's a quote from the pastor. So normally they do. They do normally baptize, like Acts 2:38. And that's why we've had success in having people, you know, go to Church of Christ. Now, if there's not one there, you know, write us a letter, give us your name and address, give us a list of maybe half a dozen or a dozen cities that are around you that you could drive to. That we can send contact letters out, and we do have, you know, people, you know, all across that have told us, hey, you know, I've got access to a pool or a hot tub or something, and I can baptize for you. But
but it is, you know, it's more than turning your TV on and watching somebody on TV or the radio. It definitely is. But, especially
you know,
in the day and age.
I got friends here. I've met four or five. I don't know if it's spirit led to show me these people that have gotten baptized, and I don't want no part of them. If you get baptized, I guess you got to just keep staying in the Word, but it's kind of
once you're convicted, brother, do it, because you never know that, you know, no one knows the day or the hour, so.
Yeah. Well, I think, thanks, guys. I'll get something
you,
going here, and I'll email Richard and stuff.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
You too. Got to remember to tell everybody turn their radio or whatever it is they're listening off, because I think that's what the feedback was.
Yeah, we also got a lot of lines today, so I'm sure that ain't helping out. We got another caller. Let's take the caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Is that me, Kyle?
It is.
Hi, Kyle. I was just calling in. This is Becky in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I was just calling in regard to the last caller, Greg, by Fargo.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to put out there, if he's still listening, that there is a Church of Christ in Rochester, Minnesota.
Rochester.
And the pastor there, I went to a service there once, and that was last February, because I had a lot of blessings in my life, and I was away from home, so I couldn't go to regular church, my true church, you guys. So I went there, and he stood up in front of his congregation. He's an older gentleman, and he said if he had his way, that everyone would be baptized for the remission of sins. So that is definitely, I believe, something to look into. Perhaps, you know, if you can't find anything closer, because there is that Church of Christ, and it's in Rochester, and it's just a few blocks away from the St. Mary's Hospital.
That's great. So, you know, I hope Greg's still listening, but, you know, that's great news. Rochester, Minnesota, Church of Christ. So,
right.
That's good.
So if he's listening, that's something to definitely look into. And like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I did listen to his sermon when I was there, obviously, and the sermon was preaching on Proverbs and about disciplining your children. And it wasn't any sloppy, agape, satanic crap that they say nowadays, you know, you can't raise your hand. He was actually preaching to the Bible, so I thought that was a good plus for him.
That is.
But I just thought I would share that in case Greg would want to look into that or anyone else in the area. And I thank you, gentlemen. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for the info.
Have a good day.
Yeah, and we are getting a lot of feedback. I blame Richard for the feedback because he's the extra line today. And, you know, Greg brought up a kind of a point, I guess an evangelistic type point. I can't go to New York or Florida or whatever on a whim, but, you know, I wouldn't mind on a Saturday making a drive, you know, to do something like that. I mean, it wouldn't even really be a sacrifice because knowing the importance of it, you know, I mean, obviously weather would come into play and other things would come into play, but I know a woman that got baptized in the Northwest in Washington, and we did it at a Y, you know, and that, you know, I mean, it was only what, two-hour drive for me or whatever, but we just went to the local Y and went in the water, and they kept the people out for 5 minutes or whatever it was. Of course, we had to kind of pre-plan it a little bit, but it's that important, you know, to where if you absolutely can't find somebody to do it, please give us a call, and if we got somebody on the ministry that lives close to you, that's fantastic. But if I have to drive 2 hours or 3 hours or four, I mean, I've drove a long ways for a lot less. Let me put it that way. And I think it's that important. So just to put it out there, that it's not that bad of a question to ask. So anyway,
and if it's a financial hardship too, you know, let us know if there's something we can do to help with fuel or airfare or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can come out for a Sunday, and you know, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember, I mean, I always remember the day when I called the LaPorte Church of Christ the first time, and I said I wanted to come out to get baptized, and Peter says to me on the phone, he goes, well, you know you don't have to drive 1,200 miles to get baptized, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I know it. And he goes, well, I just wanted to make that clear. He goes, but it'll be an honor, he said. And then you get, you know, you get to have fellowship and take communion, and you get a lot more of the church when you come out here, but that's not always available. But we do have another caller. Let's take the phone call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Kyle. This is Cal.
Hi, Calvin.
Good morning. I was saying amen, amen. If I recall, I think I'd mentioned how I was baptized for the remission of sins. It was December the 9th of 2007. I was 69 and a half years old. Had read the Bible since probably I was able to read, because my father was a so-called preacher. And anyway, I never came to an understanding until the time I finally repented and did what was required, which is in the Bible right now, and to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I called a man that was a pastor of the Waterbury Church of Christ, and on a snowy evening on that night, he brought one of the elders over to the house and quizzed me a little bit on why I wanted to be baptized, and so I gave my testimony. And I don't think he was particularly thrilled that I was doing it because of Pastor Peters, but anyway, he did. Mm-hmm. Let me give my testimony in the baptism of waters, and then he did baptize me. And my whole life changed at that point. I then knew I was born again.
Amen,
under
brother.
Water and the Spirit. So there are places that do it right, and if Richard has a good idea, if he'll let it available to different areas of the country where we can point people to the right place if we can't do it ourselves, that can be baptized, because that's important. If it's in the Bible and you can read it, you can't argue with God when you get there and say, I didn't know.
Right.
Amen.
And, so,
and once you're convicted, you better do it.
I thank God that there are men that are willing to do that, even if you're not part of their congregation, that they do obey the calling of their office. And we'll do that when requested.
Yep.
Amen.
And
I am
men
so
that
thankful
believe
for
like
that,
Pastor
because there
Peter
are men around. I have a good friend in Tennessee who was baptized for the remission of sins, and his life changed drastically. What a great witness. And he did it locally with a Church of Christ pastor. So, keep up the good work, men. And I'm glad to hear you. I look forward to Saturday morning's coffee with Wranglers. And we'll talk to you. Bless you all.
Thanks, Calvin.
Bye.
I was just saying that the men who are convicted, like Pastor Peters was, they know the seriousness and the importance of it, and they'll pretty much drop whatever they're doing and get it done pretty quick.
Yeah, here's another option you can do out there. I did it once back in Oregon. Is I called a Church of Christ up. And I talked to the pastor of it, and I asked if I could use his baptismal in this church, you know. And because they have been taught the importance of baptism for remission of sins, I mean, I believe anyway, that's why. He come over, and we set up a time. He was there, you know. He kind of showed me the ropes of how the baptismal worked, you know. I mean, you went up the steps and all this. You know, and so that's it. You know, if you don't want to go to the local Y, or you don't want to call a motel and see if you can use their pool, you know, if you don't have water available I mean, I think you can probably do that at most of them, you know. I mean, what are they going to say? No. You know, maybe they don't want to do it, but you know, because you can put them to the test. You know, you can say, well, you know, do you think it's important or not? You know, but anyway.
Yeah, I remember, when Pastor Peters was preaching, when Dad was preaching a sermon on baptism, and it was for me, but right about the time I started to have some interest in his daughter, and I was all glowing there, excited, you know, because I had been baptized, yeah, right, sprinkled as a Lutheran, as a baby, and I was all excited, you know, at the end of the service, and he goes, I said, well, I've been baptized, and he said, no, you've been sprinkled, son, you know, and he said, here, listen to these tapes and read this, and
So I did, and it was like a Friday night at 8 o'clock at night, and I called Jody, and I said, hey, I said, I understand, you know, I want to be baptized, and I'll hopefully Sunday, you know, Dad can baptize me. And
I don't think you were calling him Dad back then yet, were you?
No, probably not, but Pastor Peters, as soon as he found out that I, you know, knew the truth and wanted to be baptized, he dropped everything, and he says, we'll meet you there in an hour at the church, you know. So that's how important it is. When you're convicted, you got to do it.
Amen. That is true. You know, and just the opposite of that is most of the ministers out there, whatever you want to call them, you know, oh, you know, we'll wait till it warms up this summer and we'll have a, I mean, it's just, it's so irrelevant to them. You know, it's just, well, it's an outward sign of that inward grace, you know, that they pervert into the ground. But anyway, so. Yeah. Anything?
Yeah, there's been times where the pastor called down here and said, are you busy? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm busy. And he's like, well, there's somebody at the church that wants to be baptized. Do you think you can go take care of that? And when something like that happens, you drop everything. That's what you do. You
yeah, know? you're not going to say, oh, I'm busy right now. Can I do it tomorrow?
Come by Sunday, too.
Well, I guess Greg got us going on a subject. That's good.
Important subject.
Yeah. The telephone number, we got about 18 minutes left or 17. It's 307-745-5913. You still there, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Still out here and would, you know, just again have to agree. You started out talking about how do you know the mind of Christ if you don't read the Word, and it's just as simple as that. You know, we have to do that. If we haven't in the past, we have to change. And the people out there have to change. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, you didn't know how many Bibles you had in the house and we have, you know, we do. We order them by the case from the dollar store, dollar a piece. We send them into the prisons, so that there is no excuse, you know, to get that word out.
Yes.
Most people do have a Bible. And it would do them very well just to sit down and start reading it. And you know, you learn from reading the Bible that if you don't understand something, if you pray for it, then you know, you pray and ask for understanding, He gives it.
Yeah.
And it really is as simple as that. You know, it doesn't require a 4-year degree. It doesn't require a certain Bible. You know, King James is an excellent version. We like the New American Standard. Today's English Version is a good translation. The pastor used that quite a bit. You know, and so any of those will get that Word of God to you, but there again, you have to do it. You have to be, you know, the Bible says we are to be doers.
And you know, before you take a second step, you got to do the first step. You know, while you're talking there, I'm thinking of the, you know, Philip and the, you know, the eunuch, you know, traveling, you know, and the eunuch's reading the Word of God, you know, obviously it was the Old Testament, you know, he's reading in Isaiah, and he's reading it, you know, and Philip asks him, you know, understand what you readeth, you know, and he's like, well, how can I understand without somebody, you know, to teach me, you know, I mean, and the whole thing, you know, that's how God has made it, you know, for somebody to preach the word, somebody to have faith, and then the eunuch got faith, and what they do, they came upon water, you know, and guess what happened? You know, the very next step, you know, so.
Yeah, what keeps me from being baptized?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. There it is.
So what's going on in the news today, Jason? Is the world about to end as we know it?
The drones got the okay to strike on U.S. soil. And that's kind of an
interesting
topic,
yeah.
Because that even hit mainstream news. I was kind of rather shocked about that. But they came out last week and gave the okay for the drones to attack suspected U.S. terrorists.
What kind of firepower do they have on them?
I don't exactly know, but from watching some of the videos, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're like $250,000 a piece.
Yep.
Wow.
And they've been purchasing them, and even some of these law enforcement agencies that already have them, you know, they've been asked, well, are yours armed? And they're like, well, they're not armed at this point, but in the near future they might be. So
yeah,
I mean, how do you like that, them flying these explosive devices over you? You know, and the thing is that there really is, you look at, you know, first of all, you know, with the government, the state that it's in, how would you like them to determine who they think a suspected terrorist is?
Yeah.
You know, and then have the right, basically, a license to kill anybody that they suspect a terrorist to be. You know, why somebody sitting back there behind a video game panel, you know, flying this airplane around, except for it's not a video game, it's playing real life with real people. And then you look at how many people have died secondhand in these drone attacks overseas. It's amazing. I mean, you look at how many women and children have died over in Iraq, Iran, from these being too close to where they had a drone strike, or they misinterpreted, you know, what they were targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the numbers are in the hundreds of how many civilian casualties there's been due to these drone strikes. And you know, they're doing it over there, which is you know, everybody says, oh, it's fine and dandy, and you don't hear much about it, but that's innocent blood being shed, and that's going to, we're going to reap that as a nation. You know, and now we have the government saying, oh, okay, well, it's okay to do it over here, and you don't think that we're going to have civilian casualties because of that?
Make sure you have a good high power scope on, Jason.
Yeah, going 80 miles an hour at 5 miles above sea or a mile elevation, that's going to be pretty tough.
God can do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing to do is just remember to pray against them. You know,
yeah.
It's one of their weapons of warfare. We have a weapon of warfare divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And if we can bring down a fortress, I think we can bring down a drone.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I believe.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper.
That's right.
And it is what you're saying.
But it gives you something to pray about. You know, and
amen.
There's people that will say, well, God will protect them. Well, sometimes you got to ask for that protection. You got to pray against these things. And I think that's something to pray against and to pray for. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah, and I think of all the casualties that, you know, it's like you're saying, who are they, you know, who they're going to be, you know, running down. You know, it's like, you know, it's like I in my old life, before I was baptized and became a true Christian, you know, I used to watch movies I probably shouldn't watch, but I remember a scene in a airport, you know, where all these guys, these ragheads and stuff are going through the machines with machine guns, you know, and with samurai swords and with all, you know, and then they got this little old white lady off to the side, you know, basically beating her up, frisking her for anything, you know, any type of nail file or whatever, you know, and that's just, it's all propaganda, you know. I remember Waco and Oklahoma, all the propaganda that comes out, you know, to justify their means, you know. So, I mean, it's very interesting times. These drones are, I mean, they sound so science fiction, you know, so out of the box, you know, like it can't, you know. Can you imagine hearing about this 30 or 40 years ago? You know what, our parents and grandparents would have thought of something like this? I mean, it would have been complete Star Wars or Star Trek to them. You know?
Yep. Jason, do you see that California is proposing a new gun ban that includes confiscation?
Yeah, I did. You know, and there's been so much of that going on. It's going, you know, there's people fighting on both sides of it. It's almost disheartening though when you can't find a .22 shell anywhere. You know what I mean? But these even the Idaho Statesman came out, and the sheriff's department in I know it was Ada County and one of the other counties up there. They came out and they said, you know, we've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution We can't just protect your Second Amendment rights. We have got to, we are under the federal government, and if Congress or the President or anybody decides that we need to have gun confiscation, then we're going to uphold that just as much as anything else. And it is our duty to do what they say and confiscate guns if need be. Well, there's a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so it's going, you know, there's opposition on both sides of it. But there's a lot of them that have just stood up and said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to take part of it. Leave us alone. And, you know, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying,
you know,
anything.
And it's a wake-up call. It's waking a lot of people up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are realizing that, hey, if they're taking our guns away from us and trying to disarm us as a people, what next? You know, things have gone too far. And that could
right.
be, it's got to take something to wake people up. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are waking up and realizing, you know, what they've been told just simply isn't so. You know, they're looking for other things. They're starting to realize that something's wrong. There's something wrong in America. And if that's what it takes, then praise the Lord for it, you know?
Amen. Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, they're classifying anything with a removable magazine as a, you know, any semi-automatic weapon would be banned and confiscated. So that's a whole lot of weapons, not just ARs and AKs, you know?
Oh, that includes a lot of hunting rifles. You know,
anything with a removable mag, yeah.
And they've got they're doing that and testing it in different parts to see how the people react to it. If they can get it through in a couple places, then they'll just try to get it to spread. You know, that's usually the way it works. You know,
yeah.
You know, this NRA, I sure haven't been impressed with any of their arguments or their fights against it. It's, you know. It's pretty obvious, and it just seems like I even talked to a couple people this week who were avid NRA supporters for a long time, and they said, you know what, we're really not that impressed with what they're doing. It's almost like they're on the other side.
Imagine that. Well, you saw after Sandy Hook, their big conclusion was put armed police officers in all the schools. Come on.
Yeah, and how about exposing that it was a set-up deal? The Sandy Hook
exactly.
was a set up deal. You know, if the NRA came out, and you know that there's people in the NRA that know they've gotten the information. They know that it was an inside job. So if they did that, if they came out and started exposing it for what it was, you know, that'd be an attack. They got enough people that listen to them, where that might make a difference. But no, they're just part of the problem.
Yeah, they're that other, you know, that other arm that collects a certain amount of the people. It's kind of like the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks and all them, you know what I mean? Because they only go to a certain point. You know what I mean? They have this great, great argument in front of them if they choose to take it, and they avoid that one, you know, and they go to all these little ones, like what's his name? The billionaire that keeps wanting to, you know, Obama to show his birth certificate. Why not go after the real issues? You know what I mean?
Oh, Trump, yeah.
Yeah, Trump, you know. I mean, it's comical, it's funny, you know, but go after the real, I mean, it's like Jason, they have all this information out there how it was a set-up job, and none of the people out there that have a voice, you know, that actually have a radio show or something, they don't even go after it, you know.
Yeah, go for a heart shot,
right.
Or a head shot or something that's going to hurt him. You got to make him hurt.
And so
exposing them with the truth, it's what they've done is they've created their own opposition. They have their own opposition, so they have both sides of the argument. When you have both sides of the argument, you can control a situation.
Right.
You know, and so they've done that. They've created the opposition, and the opposition is no better. You know, one may sound a little bit better over here. You know, but that's going to gather a certain amount of people. That's going to guide other people that are on the right. Then they have the people on the left. And, you know, they act like it's nothing but an act. It's a show. You know, act like they're arguing, like that they're fighting for your rights when they haven't done a thing.
And then it all goes back to the root of evil is the love of money, you know. Anyway, we're down to 5 minutes. Go ahead. Have a closing comment, John.
You look at these people in the Senate there in California, and the one of the head guys that's heading up this bill is named Tom or Daryl Steinberg. Huh? Does that sound familiar? You know, they're all foreigners, and they're all antichrists, and they know that someday the American people are going to wake up and hunt them down like the dogs that they are. So that's what they're trying
to do. Yeah, but at the same time, they're always trying to fight against that and trying to stop it.
What do you mean?
They know it's prophesied, and they know it's going to happen, but
Right. But further final comment, I guess, on the baptism thing is if you have someone that you're trying to convince and you don't really know how to do it, you don't have the right scriptures, write to Scriptures for America and ask us to send you how to become a Christian. Don't miss out. The truth about Acts 2:38, and we'll send those out for free. And once you read through those, unless you're stupid, it's pretty easy to understand the importance of baptism.
All right. Richard, you got any closing comments today?
You know, I would say that just reiterate what the Bible says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so it does about baptism, but it also does about, the evil plans that they make. And they do. They make their evil plans. They mean to destroy us. But
the Lord laughs in the head on
them and laughs.
Yeah. Want to invite people to church, Richard?
I'm sorry?
Want to invite everybody to church?
Yeah. Yeah. We invite you to church with us tomorrow. And if you can't get out of your house and make it physically to the LaPorte Church of Christ, just turn your computer on. Come right back here and turn your computer on at 10 o'clock Mountain. 11 Central and noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. And we do. We invite you to church. Come to church with us, and maybe you're just tuning in and hearing a little bit of this for the first time. Well, come to church with us and see what it's all about. You can tune in on the shortwave, but if you want to watch, scripturesforamerica.org, click on the live video stream at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you can come to church with us.
Right. Jason, closing thoughts?
Remember to pray.
That's a good one.
That's emergency prayer. And, you know, in my prayers lately, it's been praying for wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Prayed that for a long time. But praying for courage and praying for more faith, and that the Lord teaches me those things gently. I think that's important to remember.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll go out with that, guys, and good coffee this morning. I hope you guys' coffee's good, and thanks for being here. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Yep.
Rolling, 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 stay calm. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them more,
ride them more, ride them out,
ride them more,
snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it.
moving, keep on moving over snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.